Okay, today is April 16th, and we are recording for Sefer Bereishis, and we have three things to close out our study of Bereishis, three things to do. One is to reconcile Yosef's relationship with his brothers. We'll see something about Yosef with Binyamin, Yosef's relationship with Binyamin, and Yosef with his father. That is today's class. Be dedicated to working on these three. Okay. All right. The most complicated is probably going to be the top one. We already discussed how Yosef seems to excuse his brothers for what they did. He explains what they did. Right. Explains that I understand what you did fits in with God's plan. Right? What did you do?
I should have brought the gun. I'm sorry, yes.
Didn't they frisk you when you came in the building?
What?
Didn't they frisk you when you came in the
door? No, not by you. But no, they show your ID, you're good.
Exactly.
Pretty dangerous,
no?
I'm trying to.
I want it to make you feel good, not
that. You know when the students dinner tonight, they're talking about detectors?
I thought the met all the trying to go more.
Okay, guys.
Kirby, what's the occasion?
I'm going to be able to show you.
I'm going to be able to use white in my life. Yeah, I wasn't very good.
Yeah. And the last final is, I think, like 22nd. 21st.
Well,
okay. All right. Yosef is in a position to be quite magnanimous with his brothers. We can see from the very beginning of his dreams, if I could figure it out in my book, he could figure it out. That the 11 stars are 11 years, the sun and the moon are 2 more years. He gets it. Someone who could be so sophisticated as to tell Paro everything he needs to do from Paro's dream and to realize what's going to happen with the butler and the baker knows his own dream. It is all part of a plan. Okay? So he excuses the brothers, but it's not quite clear, at least from their standpoint, that he forgives them. How do I know that? Because
you have to tell them their father.
You lie. You lie.
The lie. The big lie.
Yeah.
That they say Lu yistameinu Yosef. Maybe Yosef really harbors feelings of hatred in his heart, and whether that's true or not, they thought it was. Okay. All right. Now, when he reconciles himself with Binyamin, let's do that first. Okay. He meets him at first in Parshas Miketz. Right? He would love nothing more than to reveal himself to Binyamin. Maybe some of you think he did. Binyamin stayed in on it. I don't know. Anybody feel that?
I don't know if there's any evidence for that.
No.
Why would he make sure that his plan was
It seems that when Yaakov heard the news that Yosef is alive, it was a surprise to him. Or, did Yosef tell Binyamin, whisper in his ear, Binyamin, it's me. Tell Daddy I'm alive. Have a Hatzalah member nearby so that he doesn't have a heart attack when you tell him. Okay? And that because when the Yaakov sees it, since he sees the Avelos, his heart stopped a little bit. You know, I don't know. This is, of course, conjecture. And more important, I'm not aware of any Medrash that says this. Okay. So when he does see Binyamin now for the second time, after being accused, right, Binyamin does not look at him and say, you know I didn't take that cup. Right? What made you do all this? He wouldn't talk to the viceroy that way, but now that he knows it's Yosef, maybe Binyamin asked him in a moment of candor, what was that all about? And he would answer, look at the Peyush of Abarbanel, look at the Peyush of Ramban. Everyone in this class already discussed that already, right? What was Yosef's whole plan that he had to hatch? He was planning this for years. He knew the boys would come when the famine comes. Right?
That's why I feel like he probably didn't tell Benjamin. It just seems like he's like all thought out. The whole plan seems very, very well hatched.
And that he even wanted to go further, but he couldn't. Lo yachol yisapek implies that he meant to, he just couldn't. I can't put them two more. But we'll never know what that plan is or was. Right? Where are you going to go further than this?
Right.
If Yehuda had not stepped in, right? I'm testing to see if any of the brothers are going to step up for Binyamin the way they didn't step up for me. Right? So what is talking about? Okay, what can we do? I know we did this once before, but this time it's his fault. Right? It was Yosef's fault last time too, yes.
Was Benjamin just collateral damage? I mean, like, he didn't need the forgiveness that brothers had, yet he kind of was suffering along in this process.
Okay, so I think we discussed this, that only Binyamin has the power to destroy the enemy, Amalek. Only Binyamin has the power to build the temple in his area. Right, this is my great chazal. I did that shtick with Shimon with you because of Dina. Remember that? It says in Tanakh that Shimon wiped out Amalek.
It says that Amalek was wiped out.
Sheris HaPleta, the remnant of the terminology. Heard that terminology, Sheris HaPleta?
Yeah,
there's
a school in Baltimore that's called Sheris
HaPleta. That's
school.
In Tanakh, those two words describe Amalek.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, so it says Shimon like that Amalek.
I thought Amalek never got white.
The question is, how does that fit with the Maimar Chazal that says only Binyamin has the power to wipe out Amalek? Not just because he was the only one that didn't sell Yosef.
No.
He was the only one who didn't bow to Esau. Mm-hmm. Didn't we discuss that? No. He's the only one who didn't bow to Esau. So wait a second. Now remember that other medrash I told you that Shimon married Dina? You ever hear of that medrash?
Yes.
Shimon married. That's crazy. I can't accept it. I don't accept it. I think Chazal say that they mean something else. Say they have the same mother as well as the same father. If they just had the same father, then I'd say, okay, that's the ancient world before Matan Torah.
Yeah.
But a brother and a sister who share both parents? I'm sorry, that's not, I'm not going with that. I don't care, before Matan Torah or after Matan Torah. What did Chazal mean when they said that Shimon married Dina?
That is a Torah
for
it's
either a different woman or Dina is called that. Dina is, and she's the mother of, she's also Potiphar having the same medrash, but I'm not going to go there.
Asnat is
her daughter. I'm not going there now. This could be different, two or three different midrashim, but I just want to concentrate on the one midrash that says Shimon married
Shaul, right?
So that's how Shimon gets the strength to wipe out Amalek, because
he's
care of his
sister. Who's what?
Explain. You have to know a different Maimon Chazal. Binyamin, it turns out, was not the only child of Yaakov that didn't bow down to Esav.
Oh, Dina was.
Because she was...
in the box.
She was in the box. She was hidden. So I'm just saying that, I'm just trying to explain those interesting Mamre Chazal. I think that when Chazal say Shimon married Dina, what they're really saying is, how could Shimon have the strength to wipe out Amalek if he bowed down to Esav? The answer is, through his wife, who didn't bow to Esav.
Anyway,
yes.
Why is Dina not considered on like a higher level than like later female figures? Meaning, is she like semi head of a Sheva? I mean, obviously she's not head of a Sheva, but she's on the same genealogical stat.
Like maybe through Shimon, she has some kind of a. Who did she marry? Who were her kids? Which tribe did they join?
She's not like a quasi Ima or something.
And but what do we do with the Shmuel our original base where it says that Saul got like punished for not destroying, like it implies very much that Amalek still exists.
That's after this. Shimon.
No,
how
did
they destroy them?
Yes, so how were they destroyed? How did Shimon destroy?
Maybe after Haman, I don't know, but. Or it could be
they're not shvatim after Haman, saying that the 10 tribes are already exiled.
So some people still knew who they were. It's more likely that when Shimon wiped out the Sheres HaPleita, it was much earlier in history, and it's the Sheres HaPleita in a certain area near Israel. We don't have the obligation to go to Australia and kill off a Amalek. Only in the surrounding area, the area of Israel and the surrounding area.
But you're saying that Amalek still survived elsewhere, and that's how you have come up.
Okay, enough on that. So Yosef meets up with his brother. Let's turn to the beginning of Parshas Vayigash. Okay. Pasuk Perek Mem Hei Pasuk Yudal, 45:14. Turn there now. 45:14. Vayipol al Tzavrei Binyamin Ochiv Vayev. Fell on the shoulders of Binyamin, his brother, and he cried. Binyamin bacha al tzavara. Binyamin cried on his shoulders. Vayinashek l'chol echad. Vayev galehem bachrechem dibru echad ito. And then he kissed all of his brothers. He cried on them. On where on them? On their shoulders? Why not? I mean... it would appear he cried more on Binyamin for obvious reasons. Okay, he kissed all of them, showed them no hard feelings. He cried on them.
He means about them.
On all the lost time between them. Dysfunctional family. What was life like all those years? Right. They all have their own children, right? Okay. But that's it. Right. Chazal say that Yosef cried more on Binyamin's shoulders than Binyamin cried on his shoulders. Can you hear that? That Yosef cried double crying.
That makes more sense. And just like Binyamin was very young, was he even alive?
He was very young. He was alive, though.
Rasha
dies later.
Yosef had many more fond memories of Binyamin than Binyamin.
So this is what Chazal do. Chazal say that Yosef is crying over two temples that will be destroyed in Binyamin's area, and Binyamin is crying for the temple in Shiloh that will be destroyed in Yosef's area. I think what Chazal is saying there is that the Yosef and Binyamin are going to do in earnest their best at reconciling what they know Bereishis needs to do. Binyamin is going to try to be that focus point of getting Yosef to truly forgive them, although maybe he doesn't succeed. Is that each of them are crying for the other one. They're crying not for what I lost,
for what you lost.
Okay? All right, that's the first thing. Let's talk about Yosef meeting Yaakov. Turn to Mem Vav. I'm sorry, still Mem Hei. Turn to Mem Hei. The end of the paragraph. Okay, Vayagidu lo lemor od Yosef chai. וכי הוא מושל בכל ארץ מצרים. ויפג ליבו כי לא האמין להם. Not only is Yosef alive, but he's the ruler in Egypt. And Yaakov didn't believe him. וידברו אליו אס כל דברי יוסף אשר דיבר עליהם, וירס העגלות אשר שלח יוסף לסייסו סו, וצחי רוח יעקב אביהם. And he saw the עגלות, forget about all the Mamre Chazal on that, he saw it. I sent them down with a Chevy, with a Gremlin, and he came back with a Bentley. Where did he get this Agalos? These are not ours. It must be someone very wealthy in Egypt sent this to send me back.
You like
Chazal? It's a simple shot. It comes out of Edla, Rufa, and some other things. Let's take a look. Vayomer Yisrael Rav, Od Yosef Bini Chai, El Chav Ve'erenu B'Tera Mamos. Who's the Rav? What is he talking about? There's so many different perushim to this. I think the Rav, maybe he's talking to the driver. Hey, Rav Chovel, Rav, He says, my son's alive, I'm so excited to go. Before I die. But before that, Tanakh tells us that Yaakov brings Tzvachim, and Hashem appears to him. Remember what I told you? This is the longest you go in the entire Torah without the active voice of God. Hear that again, everybody?
From when to when?
From the beginning of Vayeshev, through Miketz, through this Tzvachim.
Well, is that representative of Yaakov using his...
Yeah. Yaakov is not a conduit to bring back the harness, the Shekhinah to come down to earth. So the Shekhinah is not coming. Lo ein Shekhinah shrua lo mitoch atzlus or lo mitoch atzlus. The Shekhinah is not going to rest upon a person that behaves like Yaakov is here. And as soon as his heart returns to him, he once again becomes a vehicle for this.
Is this like a deficiency in Yaakov?
The Rambam in Perek Ches in Shmona Prakim says just that. And he compares it to the deficiency of Shmuel, who after being given a command by God to a crowned David king in Beis Lechem, says...
Can't do it.
Because?
Shmuel will
kill me if I do that. Who just told you to do this? Okay, the Ramban goes one step further. He thinks that Avraham leaving Israel in the time of famine is a similar failure. Rashi says Avraham passed that test by not complaining on his way down to Egypt. Look at that. God tells me to leave Mesopotamia just in the time of a famine. But because he didn't say, he didn't complain, so he passed that test. That's the first assignment he passed. Second assignment. The first assignment is to go, the second assignment is to be facing famine. By the way, Canaan is not only a famine zone when Abram gets there, it's also a war zone. As he finds out as soon as he comes back. I used this in a drasha back in November, December, when so many Jews were leaving the four corners of the world to go to Israel to pick fruits. The fruits were rotting in the fields. Right. I went with my wife to a grove, a grapefruit grove, and they were falling. They were so big, they were falling from the trees, rotting on the ground. The two of us picked the whole entire grove, because they were just falling off. You just had to like shake the tree a little, and they all fell down. And you just had to put them in these huge crates, half the size of this room. And we filled three of them. Right? Look at that. It's a war zone, and it's potentially a famine zone. And Jews are coming from all over the world to come and help with the war and help with the famine. Right? Man-made famine at that, Choser Lechem could be awful, but and then, why? Because Abraham went. Right? Okay, so if I'm not going to repeat what I said in my Chamesh Megillot class, because some of you were in that class, but the kapara for this is where brothers who refuse to perpetuate the name of someone who died, right, that's Onam. Here, there's a cousin who wants to perpetuate the name that's Boaz. Both stories have someone who refuses, Plony Almoni. He doesn't die because he's not the brother, right? And he has maybe a better reason not to do it, Penashkisis Machlasi, which connects to Batisha Ches Zaro Artsa. This seems to be the author of Rus wants to plug into our story, right? And the kapara for God's name not appearing all this time is that Megillas Rus, God's name is found with a vengeance. God is behind everything that happens in this. Naomi hears that God gave back bread. Just say, Naomi heard that there's food again in Israel. No, she heard that God opened up the heavens and gave food. Everything is God. Right? Okay, so Yaakov meets up with Yosef. Let's see how that goes. Let's see the reconciliation between Yaakov and Yosef. Right? That doesn't happen right away. Right? They all go and then there's a list of the people who go. Looking at Pasuk. Oh, where is it?
Perek
Memvav. Ves Yehuda shalach lefanav el Yosef. Yaakov sent Yehuda to run ahead. Horos lefanav Goshen. Yevo arzu Goshen. They were meant to remain in Goshen. Did they remain in Goshen?
No.
Apparently not. It says Vatim olei haaretz of some. And somehow Egyptians allowed Jews to live near them. It says the women went to their neighbors and asked for gifts. By the time the story is over, because there were so many of them, they couldn't remain in Goshen. But yes, look at Pasuk Chavtes, everybody. But yes, Sir Yosef Merkavto, Vayal Ikras Yisrael Aviv Goshna. Right? There's no doubt that those two verbs, but yes, Sir, remember Chazal say that Yosef saddled his own donkey, his own horse? No. Someone like Yosef has a chauffeur, has a driver. And so Chazal say that I would say pshat, but yesor means he had it done for him.
Maybe it's like Avraham, like by the Akedah.
That's Rashi writes that. Rashi, it's Rashi.
Wow, yeah.
Rashi Kimanta. Ahavot mekalkel es Ashura. The great love that Abraham had to perform God's will made him do what he would normally give to someone else to do. Who were the two people who sinna mekalkel es Ashura that saddled their own horse or donkey?
Bilam.
Bilam? It's as he settled his donk. Surely someone as important as Bilam has someone to do that for. And the best case is, Parshas B'Shalach, say words. Paro, Vayesor es Rikbo, Ves Amo lo Kafimo. And now she writes, wow, Paro doesn't saddle his own chariot. The answer is, Sinema Kalkil is a shooter. He's so excited to go and kill Jews that he did it himself. Pshat is, Vayesor here means he had it done for him. But when it says, Ve'osso lo tsonis kasim, I don't think Yaakov made the court for you to see. Ve'osso lo tsonis kasim means, he had it made for him. Dariah is halachically, because it says in the Torah, Ve'chosav lo sefer priestess, he has to write a get for his wife. Everything else in that parsha has to be very precise, like the text says. But this, he doesn't have to write the get. The chosavon pshat, the Gemara says, means he has to have it written for her. It has to be a shema, but he doesn't have to write it. The chosavon means he has to have a get written for her. For Yesur means he had the saddle, he had the horse, the chariot saddled for him. You get it? Okay, good. So by Yesur, Yosef had this done, and he goes out to meet his father, Vayal across Israel. So by Yesur and by Yaal, the subject of these two verbs are definitely Yosef, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you had a good composition teacher in fourth grade, or certainly in sixth or seventh grade, they would tell you that what goes on in the rest of this pasuk is to be avoided in composition. Explain to me. Look. Yeah, it's. I think they call it a misplaced modifier or something like an unattributed verb. And how do you know that he is? All right, but I can tell from the context. Vayar a love. I'm sorry, vayera a love. Those two words we have, vayera a love. God appeared to Abraham, right? Vayeroi love goes on the previous verb, no? Vayeroi love would mean, yeah, Yosef appeared before Yaakov. Does anybody here disagree with that? Of course not. Yaakov is the one stationary. Yosef is the one traveling to him. So Yosef appeared before Yaakov. Fair enough. But then things go south from there. Read on. So who was the last reference according to this? Yaakov is. He appeared before him and he cried on his shoulder.
That makes sense.
Now, he appeared before him, right? There are two ways to go with the next statement. Either that the next verb, which is Vayipol al Tzavrov and Vayevk, is either referring to the same verb that's throughout the Pasuk, Yosef, five verbs, or it's going on the hymn. He appeared before him, who he's the one that who. Okay. One way that this does leave the trend of reunited people in Sefer Bereishis is that in all the other cases, Yaakov and Esav, Yaakov and Yosef and Binyamin, Yosef and his brothers. And all you have these crying, they're always in plural. Look at this one. It appears that only one of them is crying here. You get the point?
Well, it should be Yaakov, because Yaakov is dead. So, had the worst hardship.
There's a big machlokas, Rashi and Ramban, over who's the one crying. But they both agree that only one is. Hashpam thinks they're both crying. Aye, so why say Vayev? Could you say Vayev Kuh?
Isn't it Chazal that they cry as one? Yeah, we'll say Shema.
Rashi mentions that. See, if Rashi is a close reader, notices that only, and cares to tell you that only one is crying, because it says Vayev, a close reader, right?
It's not really because they bring in.
So Rashi wants to tell you why. Why isn't Yaakov crying? So Rashi says he's saying Kriyat Shema. What? That's a little crazy. The whole day you have to say Kriyat. Now your doctor's saying it as he's getting off his chariot? Can you come up with an explanation of this in light of what I said before about Megillas Rus?
Before this, you couldn't say that's wrong, but running because it wasn't.
Until now, he realized, without realizing it, I mean, he's realizing now, how much he lost in his relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu because of the loss, this personal loss. I know people like this, Holocaust survivors. They were empty shells. They lived the rest of their lives doing mitzvahs scrupulously. But they were empty shells who felt nothing. And Nebuch, in some cases, their children suffered for it.
Would you, is that better?
That's still a gadol, it's still a tzaddik. I have no judgments to make on someone who went through the Holocaust. So no, it's dvarim to do that. But, yeah.
So is it better for someone to live their life like that, but like empty and depressed, or being there were people that sort of lived totally different non-religious lives, some of which maybe were more fulfilled?
I'm not sure what they felt deep down inside. I'm thinking of Yeshaya Leibowitz, Nechama's brother. You've heard of him? Maybe his politics in Israel were a little loony, but he thought that we have to blow up the Kotel because he thought the Kotel turned into a bazaar. He was very critical of the Israeli army at times. But anyway, he had a weekly radio address on Thursday nights that now has been collected and put into a three-volume book, but I have only one volume. It's called Notes on the Parsha. It's really, and it's translated into English. Brilliant. Anyway, he lived very old. He lived about 100. And he outlived some of his children. And his eulogies at the children's levayas are in print. And one of them, he speaks about remembering what he said at his bris. His son died not young. His son died like 70. But he lived almost like past 100. So, you know, you live to 100, you're gonna outlive he said, I love Hashem as much now as I did at his bris. You can't say that I should change my approach to God because of something that he gave me 100 years to live and that I have to watch and see my own children die. But he said, I can't just consider how I change. I'm crying, I'm very upset, I wish I didn't have to see such a thing. But that's okay. That's what he said. Anyway, but Yaakov realizes what a shell he had become, and how much was lost in his own personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and perhaps realizing the enormity of not only what was lost for me, but what was lost for the world. Okay? So he decided to wait until he beheld Yosef to say Kriyat Shema. Adarabba, I'm waiting to see Yosef in order to turn my joy and elation at being reunited with him into a religious moment.
Yeah, I don't like that so much.
All right, that's the Be'er Yitzchak. The Be'er Yitzchak is a commentary to Rashi, is the one who says this. Be'er Yitzchak.
Who wrote that?
Yitzchak Ber Yisachar. He has another not known, very few people know this. He is the author of Wherever You See Rashi Yashan. It was a mistake. He wrote Reish Yud for his initials, Rabbi Yitzchak, and it was about the 15th century. And people mistook it for Rashi Yashan. They don't appear in French and German manuscripts. They live in Poland, and they only appear in Polish and Eastern European manuscripts of Rashi. Anyway, that's what he says. All I try to do in these things is to interpret what Chazal mean and see the deeper meaning of the thing, is that it's certainly within the realm of the Pshat for Yaakov to recognize that God did not appear to me all these years.
Right, but it seems like misplaced and also like, I would maybe just like incorrect, but I would call like unfortunate, using the moment for something is not, I'm not Yaakov, but I wouldn't use the moment for something else. Maybe your son, I don't know what to use that as a springboard.
Yeah, how does this work for Yosef? You know, Yosef also might feel, why didn't anyone come looking for me? You know, 13 years languishing, in as a slave and in jail. Did you ever send anybody? Maybe the brothers could have said something like, knowing that he may very well be alive. This is what Rashi does in chapter 42 when they're getting for food. Is that maybe the brothers could have said something like, Daddy, we saw the coat, but maybe, just maybe, maybe he survived. Maybe they cut off his arm and he survived. Let's go look for him. Let's go down to Egypt. Maybe we can find him. We'll ask around. I mean, obviously, that's not part of the plan. But okay, whether Yosef wondered about these things, I'm sure the brothers and Yaakov had questions about, Yosef, what was that all about in Parshas Miketz? Right? In other words, why did you have to take Shimon? Why did you have to demand Binyamin come? Surely you were in a position of power to just take a vacation for 2 weeks and come up and visit us. We'd wonder, who's this Egyptian coming? And then start speaking to us in Hebrew, show us your bris, and we'll believe you. Right?
Do the brothers really want to find Yosef, even though it would mean they're going to be outed and whatnot?
By now, maybe not. Maybe not.
So why not mention it now that they sold him? It wasn't actually
what a coincidence that he's gone exactly the amount of time that Yaakov was gone for from his house for taking the bracha. What a coincidence! It's all Bereshis is all works its way through. So is he reunited? Truly reunited with Yaakov? I'm not sure of that either. Let me tell you why. Open up the beginning of Vayechi. Everyone with me here? Stay with me, everybody. Look at the beginning of Vayechi. Okay. Yaakov one has something to tell Yosef, good news, and something to ask Yosef. What is he telling him? I'm going to bless your two sons as if though it's you. I'm giving you the Bechorah. How is that manifest? You're getting two tribes. Yaakov's bracha to Yosef is all about progeny. It's all about...
Well, how's the benefit in that he's getting two tribes? Because it's the same number of people. Meaning, Yosef's tribe would have just been two times as big.
Ephraim and Menashe together is...
Sure, but Ephraim and Menashe are already subsumed under Yosef, so...
Okay, but it's all, whether it works Yosef, they get, we've got to give him a lot more land. Okay? Even in Sefer Yoshua, Yosef complains, my land isn't deep enough for all our populations. So,
how does Yosef have Bechoros?
Bechor gets twice as much as everybody else.
But he wasn't the Bechor of
Rachel. Rachel's Bechor. And the father has the right to take the Bechorah away from one and give it to another if he thinks it's worthy to do so.
So that technically could have happened with Yitzchak, and that could have,
Yitzchak and Avram didn't even give a Bechorah, any portion at all to the others. They just gave them gifts.
Because the whole thing was that Yaakov stole the Chloros. But if it was really up to Yitzhak to give, like, was it ever really Esav that he really stole it?
Well, it depends what you think the Bechorah manifestation of Bechorah is. Is the Bechorah Tala Shemayim Shemani Aretz Rokim Andes Yerosh Yaduchamim? Yitzchak didn't think so. Except according to that Kartor I gave you by Yitzhak, where Yitzchak and Rivka were behind it, Yaakov was the one being fooled. But Yitzchak might think, this is my Kartor told us, that I want to give Esav the Gashmius of the family, which is considerable by now, because he already got Meosha Orim, right? And I want to give Yaakov the Ruchnius of the family. To get this land, he doesn't mention Abraham in the bracha that Yaakov takes. Rivka thinks, listen, you're naive, Yitzchak. If you want Yaakov to have the spiritual blessing, he has to have the material blessing as well. And I submit to you the way the Ramban reads Sefer Bereishis, and the way I think we should today in the 20th century. The reason I would submit that Jews do very well when given equal opportunity. I dare say, every single person in this room, probably all your friends, went to college.
Yeah,
sure. And most of this country, 5-10% of the kids get to go to college. For you, practically everybody you know, forget about college, graduate school and beyond, right? We are privileged. But all right, it's because the Torah values create success. Right? That's pashut. I'm just saying this metaphysically because of the reward for Torah. No, we don't view the Torah observance that way. Schar mitzvah b'hayal malek. It's just that Torah values, which stress hodah, our relationship with parents, our respect for authority, hard work, etc., guarantee. Nothing is a guarantee, of course, but it's a good harbinger for success. You have to be careful, because what Yaakov vouchsafed by taking the bracha comes at a price. A, we have to wear big day Esau. That's not good. We have to identify as Esau for the moment. That doesn't work with the mystery. Right? So, okay, that's the point. Sometimes we have to wear big day Esau, but we can never forget Kol Yaakov. He still spoke like Yaakov. Which almost tipped off Yitzchak. He heard him say please, he heard him say God's name. And both of those are important. Not just to have the religious vocabulary, but also have to have the pleasant and the mental vocabulary. Right. Okay, so Yaakov wants to inform Yosef of the good news. But you have to read between the lines and see that, you know why he tells him this good news? Because he's asking him for something. What does he want? He's begging him. And he makes him swear.
Oh,
why does he make him swear?
Very, 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 very.
Make him swear? You don't think your son is in a position to do this?
Well, maybe
not. To make Yosef swear, it's so obvious. That if Paro somehow refuses you, you can say, Paro, I know I have a lot of things to do here on a regular basis, but I need this two-week vacation because I swore to myself. Why did you have to swear? You know, swearing is a big thing by us. I really have to do this. In other words, Yaakov wants to protect Yosef with the argument he might have to make in order to get this done. Right? So he makes him swear. But Yaakov puts in the middle of the request information that the reader surely knows by now. What's that information? Take a look at Perek Memches. I am... Baichi is always hard to find because it stops the movie. And he tells him right away. Right? Vayechi Yaakov, and he came close to dying, he closed him and says, put your hand under my thigh, and tell me, make this oath that you're not going to bury me in Egypt. Okay?
Okay.
And we're talking about Pasuk Zion and Perek Mem Ches. Why is he including this?
Is that a reason why? Being Yosef might say to himself, "Why should I bury you? You didn't even bury my mother." The problem is,
he should have said, "Rachel, your mother." No. Wouldn't you say that if you're talking to your son? You'd say you mentioned to your son your mother's name by name. Don't you feel it in Pasuk Zion? You want to say the name, fine. I would have preferred just your Imecha. Certainly Rachel Imecha. Right?
Well, he had to be dispassionate in his
caring. Yeah, he's purposely avoiding this kind of thing. Why should I do this, Daddy? You didn't even bury Mommy in it. You know, Yosef is magnanimous. Yosef is... But Yaakov maybe is not sure. He has to. Yeah, he doesn't. He wants to like cut off the possible response. Like Moshe doesn't confront the men who are whoring after the Midianite women because he knows some snarky guy is going to come to him and say, "Oh yeah, Moshe, who was Mata your Midianite?" Moshe has an answer. That was before Matan Torah. I didn't whore after I married her. Right? Yaakov has to worry about this. Okay, there's this great. I'll close with this. There's this great.
Yeah.
Thanks.